Kedvach. We are up to Siftes. Previous, we were discussing a situation where the buyer purchased it at a discount. It was worth 200, and he ended up buying it for 100, and the shaila is who gets that discount. Does it belong to the buyer, or does the metzrin take advantage of that discount? Today we're going to be discussing the inverse case. It was only worth 100, and the buyer overpaid 200, and now if the metzrin wants to take it away from the buyer, how much does the metzrin have to pay? So let's start. Sif test. Hopefully we cover a couple of sifim tonight. I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit. Let's see. Kanabim Mesayim Veinu Shave Elamana. If he purchased it for 200, Veinu Shave Elamana was only worth 100. Im HaMetzin Chafetz Ba. If the metzin wants it, tzarach litin loy mesayim, the metzin has to pay the same 200 that the buyer paid. And the Gemara says that there's a chiddush, because really, if you think about it, the buyer is acting like a shliach of the metzin, unbeknownst to the lokeach, but now that the metzin kicks in, he invoked the din of hametzah, he acted as a shliach. So the Gemara wants to say, why can't you tie the litkunish datich v'lalavasi? I sent you a shliach, I didn't need to botch up and overpay, double the price. Phil was only worth 100 to pay 200, why should I be stuck with it? But that's the halacha. Yes, he is mechuyev. If he wants it, this is what he has, this is his choice. He doesn't have to buy it, he can let the lokeach keep it. But if he wants it, if he's desperate for it, he's going to have to pay the full 200, just like the buyer paid. Mimtoina metrin, she'asu knunya b'neim. If the metzin tainis, you know there's a deal going on here, there's some game going on here. Who in his right mind pays $200 for $100 property? Must have happened like this, that the seller knows that I'm desperate for this property, so he's going to try to milk me for whatever he can. So what he did was, he went in cahoots with this buyer, he set up a nominee, a fake buyer, or whatever it is. Or even if the buyer was a real buyer, but the buyer clearly is not paying $200 for this $100 property, but he's really only interested in paying $100. Who write in the shtamach here that he sold it for $200. No one's ever going to know. And Mamela, when the metzin comes to try to remove him, the buyer's going to say, here, you want it? It's for $200. If you don't want it, fine. So it's a way to stave off the metzin. And if the metzin does want to pay $200, he'll share the profit, so to speak, the extra 100 who share with the seller. So like this, they milk the metzim for as much as they can get. That's the time of the metzim. Like, what's going on? Why would you do such a thing to pay $200 for $100 property? So that's the time of them. Just a kununya b'neim. There was a kununya going on between the seller and the buyer. Nishba lokeach b'nekitas chefetz. The lokeach has to swear b'nekitas chefetz. That's a shruah chamura. The night of Masayim, and then he can collect his 200. If he wants to collect his 200, he's going to have to make a shvuah, and if he doesn't make a shvuah, he can't collect. We don't have, means I have a right to assume that he didn't really pay 200. There's a game going on. V'mhoyusham edim, but if there were edim shenasin Masayim, the edim actually saw him give 200 to the seller. V'metzin toyin, and the metzin says, nevertheless, there's a game going on. Sure, he gave over 200, but there's a deal going on between them that afterwards they're going to give back. The seller will give back the 100 to the buyer, or they're waiting for me to pay the 200, and then they'll split the profits. And the metzin knows for sure how he can know for sure, basically, but he knows for sure he's a tiny bari. Money, he really only paid 100, so he's going against the aid, so to speak. They don't only see that the money was transferred to 100, but he's saying, I know it's transferred, but there's really a game going on here. So then the Maccabi says like this, he has to pay him 200 because his aid said it was bought for 200. But after he does it, Omasalko, and he removes him off the field, and the Metzin now has it, now the Metzin could force a Shvua on the Lekeach, like a Shvua says, Shalokha b'Masayim v'Niftai. Here is not a Shvua b'Nikitas Chavetz. Sorry? No, before it was a Shvua b'Nikitas Chavetz, and this Shvua was a Shvua like a Shvua says. For example, in the first Shvua, there's a machlokes apoiskim here. I don't want to go into it, but it's a major machlokes apoiskim. If you need a tainis vade, it could be even with a tainis suffix, you could force a shvua sanoitlin, or this shvua benikitas chayfitz. Mashenkein, for the safer of the machaba, where there were edim that actually 200 was paid, in order to force a shvua, you have to have a tainis vade. Then you could force a shvua, and that's like every other shvua says this. If I have a tainis vade, I can make a force a shvua. All right, that's the halacha. Greg Shmaka, a simple halacha, that if the guy overpays, you can't have tainus on the lokeach. At best, you can get out of him, muk out of him a shvua. That's the whole. He overpaid. Oh, you mean if it's 100, he paid for 101? I mean, what's the share? You can mechayev a shvua if you're a bari. You can mechayev a shvua anytime because that's what shvua says.
Bari means that he screams very loud.
No, bari means that he knows for sure.
That he overpaid?
So I don't know how he's going to know for sure that he overpaid. That means that it was a gain. Not he overpaid. If he overpaid, legitimately overpaid, he not overpaid, but he really overpaid. So that's right. He has to be a buddy that there's a game going on. I know he tapped his guy's phone lines and he heard that there was a game going on. He tapped his text messages and he heard that there was a. That's it. If you're not a buddy, then you can't force a shvua. In the reishi, you can force a shvua. Shvuas nekitzas chayfitz, shvuas hanoitlin. There's a different ways to talk about this. But yes, but that's. It's not a bari, the fact that he overpaid. No. It's only that he's...
No, but the fact that he knows it.
If he knows...
He didn't pay 400.
How do you know?
Well...
Because it doesn't make sense?
Well,
if it doesn't make sense, you're not a bari. It doesn't make sense means that there's something fishy going on. So that, again, in the ratio will allow you to make... cause him to make a shulman, the kiddush gave it. You want to know what point does it become fishy? If it's more than a shtus, more than the price? I don't know. I didn't see anyone who says it. But when it gets fishy, at that point you can force a shvua in the kitas chayfis. And the safe is only if you're a bari, if you know for sure, and then that's like a regular shvua sesis.
What happens if he doesn't make a shvua?
If he doesn't make a shvua, then he can't. Oh, in the safer?
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have to give it back. If he doesn't want to make a shvua, that's it. You can't keep it. Means my allegation was correct. You're scared to make a shvua because.
Why do you have to pay first?
Because that, this is coming from the Rambam, this is the Rambam's chilek, that in the Sefer, where they already aid them who are backing the Lekeach, so then sort of the Lekeach has the advantage. We assume the Lekeach is correct, so you got to first pay him if you want to be Mesalakim. Now you want to make him swear, fine, make him swear with a Tainis Vade, a Tainis Bori. Without that, you can't make him swear. In the Reisha, he can't do anything until he makes a shur. He has to make a shur before he could collect. All right. Now, the Lashon Mechaba is a Gishmak. I want to go into this. The Lashon Mechaba is also Knunya B'nei. There's a deal going on between the seller and the buyer, which means that the seller presumably is here, and we ask the seller, and the seller swears up and down, yes, Mamish sold it for 200, Mamish Kavaldik, I did a great deal. So both the seller and the buyer are saying that they paid 200. And just the Metzrin is having conviction. What's going on? How can you pay $2,400 Sada? And if I want to make you make a Shvua? So, Fektisha Mishpat, that if the seller is here and the seller is being made as an Erechot on behalf of the buyer, he's concurring with the buyer's story that he actually paid 200. The Raman Simon pays Ayin Sivva Paskins, that an Erechot works to Pata even a Shvua Sanaitlan. This Lokeach has a din that he has to make a shvua to collect from the metzrin. But the meicha should be an eid echad siding with the lekeach, that the lekeach is correct. So let the eidus of the meicha, an eid echad of the meicha, pata the shvua of the... one second, I'll get to it. Yeah, pata the shvua of the lekeach. That was the kasha of the Sham Mishpat. And because it is gewaldika kasha, the Sham Mishpat makes a gewaldika deicha kekimta that we're talking about, where this meicha was either a korev to the metzrin or whatever. He was a korev, he's a postulator. So he's a postulator. He's a ganef, he's a goy, a rosha, whatever it is. He's postulators. But if it'll be kosher leidus, Enoch Hanami, his eidus would work to pata the shvua of the lekeach. That's the Sham Mishpat Sekimta. The Nefesh Chayim, Bava Mitzian, Kufches, he has a Chiddush Dika Teretz. His Teretz is that since the guy paid $200 for a $100 field, that's wild, that doesn't make any sense. It's like a chazak, no one would do that. It's like a roiv, no one would do that. It's a nansad, it's a roiv. Roiv people wouldn't pay $200 for $100 on them. And roiv is other from an eid echad. So memela, so even though the lekeach has an eid echad helping him out, but there's also a roiv going against him, so it's as if it's a wash, it neutralizes the eidus of the eid echad. Memela, we're back to the lekeach who has to make a shura. A blitzchedish of the nefeshkaya. Comes along the Shoshanis Yankiv, the Mishpat Shalom, the Cheshen Veifa, they all say, your teretz, and the teretz is, what do you mean, how could you use him as an eid? He's a negei medava. The Metzin saying that they're making a knunya. How can I trust his aidis? He's in for it. He's going to share the profits of what I overpay. So how could you use him as an aid? Comes along the Erech Shai and tries Gevalt. What do you, how can you pass him because he's a negeya? So every erechera passes to this guy. Every erechera has a taina. I was like, you're a negeya. You can share the profits with this guy. Every time I want to, there's a shvuz a neitlein. I'm going to taina. Oh, you shkoich have an aid. That aid is also a party with you. Every time you bring an aid. Oh, no, you puzzle and you're puzzle and you're puzzle. Bingo. Excellent. Excellent. That's what I want to say. Excellent. The Ekshai Blayv Shem, and Meli says that teretz doesn't work. I think the Poshet Techilik is like Abish is saying. Every Erecha, when he comes in, and I want to point a finger and accuse him that he's sharing profits in the deal, how can I do that? The Torah is Maimon in Erecha. Basically, I'm saying that the Erecha is being paid off. The Torah is Maimon in Erecha. Not in Gantzin, it was Maimon in Erecha for Shvua. But for Shvua, Torah is Maimon in Erecha. Over here, even before the seller gives Eidus, I'm already saying that the seller is in cahoots with the buyer, who in the right mind pays $200 for a $100 field. That means I'm already accusing, before he even comes to give Eidus, I'm already saying that this guy, he was already a Baldin, so to speak, beforehand. He was party to the story. He sold the field to this guy, and I'm already saying this whole field that was sold for $200 is a joke. He made a fake star here. Up the amount, it was really only $400. I'm already telling that he was a negev, but of even before his Eidus. Now he comes and gives Eidus, he's already apostle Eidus from beforehand. It means I'm claiming that he has a negev here from before his Eidus. So that, okay, he's a negev, but of a mele, he can't work as an Eidus. I think it's Poshet. I found after the Ochas and Mishpatim and Meitzronis, Baismem says, come at that. I believe that's the chilek. All right. Well, what's the kanunya? Why does the seller have an advantage to push me out? He doesn't like me as a neighbor. I wasn't a good neighbor to him. Like, what does he have with me? The only thing he would really want with me, the only thing that I really maybe heard him was, is that I was trying to lowball him when buying his property. That's all he did. But as long as he gets the fair market price, why should he care if he sells it to me, he sells it to someone else?
Maybe the kanunya is that the let's work it out. Stay with me, let's
yeah, but so what is the seller? Why would the seller want to do that for?
He's paying him in cash.
No, I'm saying he has to be gaining something from it. Why would he, with Bedavka, want to push the medicine out? So whatever that, what he's gaining, that's the medicine's taina, that you're a negev, Bedavka. You're trying to do that for that gain. All right. What happens if they made a shtar mechir that he bought it for 200, but he didn't pay yet? Now comes along the medicine and exercises rights of Meitzronis and says, I'll take it over, but I gotta don't think that you really paid 200, or that I don't even think that you're obligated to 200. I think this whole deed is false. This whole sale is false. The contract is false. It's really not 200, it's only 100. What do you do then? Who has to make the shua? Does the buyer make the shua, but the buyer didn't pay yet? Or does the seller make the shua? Because it's the seller who would like to collect 200. Who now is mechiv to make a shua? So there's a Chuvah is Chavizor that's brought down in the Pesach Chuvah. Chavizor brings down from Rav Gershon Ashkenazi that he says that you can't make the seller make a shua. The seller has nothing to do with the metron. The seller only has a deal with the buyer. My deal's with you. So I want to collect $200 from you. You have to deal with the metzer. The metzer's invoking by metzer from you, the buyer. There's no din by metzer on the seller, only din by metzer's on the buyer. So you pay me the 200 like a tatala, and now if you want to be reimbursed from the metzer, you have to make a shua in the kitas chayfetz from the metzer. It's his soda, and just he has to pay $200. Let's say he has to pay tonight $200, and right away the metzer comes and says, I'm here. What do you do? Well, let's say they're in contract and they're about to close. So comes along the Chavisya and says, it's not fear. You're making the buyer make a shrua, Nikita's chavetz, on something that he has no gain from. The metzron is already invoking Bametzra. So we know that tomorrow the field is going to belong to the Bametzra. So Lekeik says, Mali Litzarezis, what do I need to be involved for? You take it up with the seller. I was willing to get into this deal because I thought I'm going to get the field. But now that you're putting me on notice that you're really taking the field from me, so what do I have to make a shua for? What do I have to pay 200 and try to get back and be reimbursed the 200 from you and make the shua? Lazab, go you deal with the seller directly. So the Chavizyot says, B'chai Gavno, the seller has to make a shavua to be able to collect from the Bametzra.
Why is he making a shavua?
It's a machloek, it's a poiskim why. The goyin says it's the same, like a shliach that has to make a, so that would only work by a buyer and that wouldn't work by a seller. So granted, the Chavizyot says, he's a shliach. He did the lokeh because the lokeh doesn't want to make, but the lokeh doesn't want to make the shur. Yeah, he said, I'm out of it. I'm stepping down. That, so the chavizor, but the chavizor does say that the seller won't have to make a shur with Nikita's kefis because the whole lumdus in Nikita's kefis type of a shur only works for the lokeh, like a shliach or whatever the other svaras are. It won't work for the seller. So the seller would have to make the shur, but the shur that he makes is like a shur says it's enough in Nikita's kefis.
The seller says, I don't like this guy.
We already had before the Ramon Tzivav that says he doesn't have that choice. Once the deal was closed, if the kinyan was chal, if it was before the kinyan, you're right. But once the kinyan, they could stomp back out. But let's say the kinyan already happened and the 200 wasn't paid yet. It's going to be paid tonight. And now the metzin says, okay, I'm here. So now who has to make the shur to collect from the metzin? Right.
So
that's if it's before the kinyan. What happens if it's already the kinyan? The case they're talking about was already a kinyan. There was already a kinyan. The buyer is there, and now for him to collect, but he didn't yet pay to the sellers. The buyer says, "I know I'm losing the field, so why do I have to shell out money and make a shur to get reimbursed? Let me leave. You deal directly with the seller. Okay, very good. So I got the whole. I'm going to back that up. I got to believe, even though. I believe that there's a mefusha right in the tour. I don't see anyone who brought this right, but I think there's a mefusha right in the tour, like a Vigeshen Ashkenazi, not like the Chavizyon. The tour's case, if you remember, we had a case where he sold it bamtona. He sold it on credit. The seller sold it to buy on credit. It's payable in a year. The seller's note, whatever. It's payable in a year. And now, the metzen says, I want to take over. So the seller doesn't have to trust the metzen. He could say, I trust the credit better of the lokeh rather than the metzen. But let's say if the seller does trust the credit of the metzen, the tour brings down b'shem derosh. The halacha is that the buyer will collect from the metzen and the seller will collect from the buyer. That's what the tour says b'shem derosh. So you see clearly in the tour that even though the buyer had not yet paid and the buyer just owes money to bamton in a year's time, and the metzen already is invoking his mitzronis right now, still the lokeh bal kocha is involved. Since he bought it, he's the rightful owner of the property. He owes the seller money. He's going to have to deal with the seller and pay him up. And if he wants to reimburse, he's going to take it up with the mitzron. But he can't just now walk out of the deal and tell the mitzron, okay, you pay the seller directly. That wasn't an option in the tour. So lokeh here too should be the exact same thing. Lokeh is a fusha right in the tour, like Rav Geshen Ashkenazi, that the halacha is that the mitzron still could ask the lokeh to make the shur. The lokeh has to make the shur and not the seller. Seller has nothing to do with the metzron. You can't ask the seller to make the shur.
Why is it not the same case?
Well, that case is about Bahamtona. This is, okay, similar. Okay. Okay, fine. I just want to be meiser that I think that even the chavizyo would be meiser that he's talking about a case is that it's not fear for the buyer to make a shvua and lose the karka. So like the buyer is in it for nothing. What does he need the whole headache for? He's going to make, let's say he makes a shvua for 200, so he'll collect 200 and invite to lose the field. So what does he need the whole headache for? But I believe that the kavizah would be murder. What happens if the metzen says, you know what, I think you guys played a game and I think you really only paid 100. And if Yitaka only paid 100, I want the field because that's a normal price. But if Yitaka make a shvua that's 200, it's crazy, I'm mad. I'm paying $200 for $100 karka. I think the chavizyo would be murdered about the lokeh makes the shur. Because here, if the lokeh would make the shur for 200, he'll end up with the field. The metzen saying, I don't want to invoke mitzronis if Yitaka pay 200. I only want to invoke for 100. So you have to make a shur that Yitaka pay 200, and then Altaka walk away. So then the lokeh will make the shur, because he's gaining from the shur. His whole time it was, if the lokeh is not gaining from the shur, Mali Litzara says, what do I need it for?
What happens if the lokeh says, I don't want to make a shur? And so now he has the right to go and buy from the...
In a normal case, not like the Chavizyo or with
the
Chavizyo? In the Mechabit's case, so the Lokeh has to make a shur. If the Lokeh doesn't, then that's it. Then the Metzrim will be Mesalikin for 100,
but
for the field market value.
Now the ritual Bakar said that I want to sell for 200, 100 I'm not selling.
You're still selling it. Yitaka's selling it for 200. You're selling it to this guy for 200. The kinyan was already made, let's say, right? Let's just talk about it.
Simple.
Regular case, the kinyan was already made, and the lokeh is now coming to the metzen. Right. So the kinyan was made, and the lokeh... Sorry? Correct.
And the Lakai doesn't want to share.
If he doesn't want, he's going to have to give it up for 100 instead of 200.
But now the original Moshe
is saying, no, it's already sold. The original worker will go to the Lakeg and say, pay me 200. You don't want to make a shul to the mezzan, it's between you and the mezzan. But you owe me 200. You owe me 200. We have a deal. We made a kinyan for 200. I have a shtar that you owe me 200. That's it. You owe me 200. Moshe gets his money. He gets his money from the Lakeg. And the Lakeg will have to make a shul. If he doesn't want to make a shul, then he can't mourn the mezzan for more than the going rate for 100.
The mezzan,
but the Lakeg has to give back the money for the
Lakeg? No, why?
Because
the Moicha says you take a border for 200. I have a shtam mechir that you take a border for 200. The Moicha lengthened and said that there was no knunya. It was take a border for 200.
If this is the case that the Moicha doesn't really want to buy it for 200 or give it up, then why is the Moicha in a game, brother? Why can't he remain? The Moicha
is not knunya. In that case, there's no kununya. If the kununya is that he's going to share the profit, then because governor, there's no. But if the kununya is like his type of kununya, he's trying to knock the metron out of it, so he makes a higher price. Really wasn't for 200, let's say it was for 110, right? But he's doing it to be able to stave, but he wrote 200 in order to stave off the metron. I'm working out your chesed that if we're in the geese for 10, that's why you said 110. I'm trying to help you out. That you get such a case, then you could have. But I hear your chesed. We got to work it out. But I hear your chesed. All right, let's do the Rama. Zok the Rama. Another story. Interesting. Gava b'chayvoy. If the lakeach, instead of paying money to buy the field, the lakeach foreclosed on the property. Next door neighbor had a property. He owed money to the bank, and the bank foreclosed on the property. It was gavur b'chayvei. Or he owed it. It was a tax lien, and the yid bought his tax lien, and he foreclosed on the property next door to me. So yid ended up foreclosing the property next door to me. So he's gavur b'chayvei. Now I go over to this guy who foreclosed on it and say, shkoyek, but I'm the metzrin, so now give it to me for the price you paid for it. Because I'm the medicine. I don't have to pay more than you paid. I only pay for what you paid. So like this. Let's just give an example. Let's say the chayv was $300,000. It was gavur b'chayvei. The metzen only has to give this lekeach rak if he shumas bezdin, whatever the shuma the bezdin was hakarka afal pishachayva yayesa. Even though it says on the tzetel that he had a $300,000 tax lien and that's how he foreclosed on the property, but let's say the property was only worth $200,000. Zokter Amor, I only have to pay him off $200,000 and I could take the property. The metzen. The Maisagir at the property is only worth $200,000. And the mail, I only have to pay you $200,000, even though you had a $300,000 chayv. Now the shaila is, what's going on here? And the major machloek has had to understand this case. It's coming from a rivash. Why not? Gavur b'chayvei is a way of buying it. Instead of buying it with cash, you bought it with canceling out your chayv. So you bought it. Good.
He should be here.
The bin b'metz is for the metzrim, but we have to not step on the moicha. It's not the bin b'metz. How was that the moicha? The moicha's property. He did. It was foreclosed on. It was already paid off. Let's say it was already paid off. Whatever it was paid off. But you really asking a smas kasha. We have to know how to teach a smas. But just let's say this is the case that he already paid it off. You ready with goyver? With the choyv, that's how he paid off. I satisfied. Well, what is all these tax liens cash winners? They bought it at a discount to begin with. They got this tax lien, this chayv at pennies. So they bought it for the tax lien for $75,000, and they foreclosed on the property worth $300,000, and the face of the note is
$400,000.
I'm saying this is, that's how they make money. They buy tax liens and they foreclose and whatever it is. That's how it goes. So the shayla is, how much does the mezzan have to pay? The Rama says he only has to pay the real value, the $200,000. Now, what's going on? So the sma basically, he's bothered by Yeshala. What do you mean? The seller would rather give it up for 300 than give it up for 200. If you're going to take it for 200, he's still going to owe the buyer, namely the Malva, the Baal Choyv money. So Teretz is, he says like this, the case is... Sorry?
No,
Depend. Oh, So basically, is what, how, or for what amount did the Baal Chayv, did the tax lien holder, close on the property? He had a $300,000 note for a $200,000 property. So how much did he use of that note to close on the property? Did he use $200,000 of it, or did he use all $300,000 of it? So that's what this man basically is bothered by, that if he used the whole $300,000, then it should be that he bought a $200,000 property for $300,000. He can't go overpaid. But the halacha is, that's the machaba, that if you overpay, the metzen has to pay the full amount. So why does the Ramah say that he doesn't have to pay the full amount? He should have to pay the full amount, whatever the face of the note was, whatever the guy said that he used.
So he wouldn't pay more than $300,000. He wouldn't pay more. You have to take out cash in his pocket. He knows he's not getting anywhere, so give
it to the car. So, why would he have to be Michael? So, let him use the resin, hopefully, for any day. Maybe the borrower would get money. Okay. Now, if you look in the Rivosh case was talking about Zakat Sman, he's Takara. You look in the case, was talking about where the next door owner died, and the only asset that he had that was meshubet to the chayv was his property. And there was no way in the world that the malva could ever get any more money than this property, because nothing else is meshubet to the chayv. And on that, the Rivar said, Shkoyach, there's nothing to get more. There was, like you said, basically, he had no way to get more money out of the guy. The guy's dead, and this is his only asset. So Mamela, the fact that I gave up a $300,000 note for $200,000 profit doesn't mean I paid $300. I paid $200. The rest is gone. I will never recoup that money. So, but over here, where the guy's still alive, and hopefully he'll get money tomorrow, and he'll work, and he'll win the lottery, and I could pay up tomorrow, why would I erase the rest of the money? And if I did, then I deserve to be reimbursed from the medicine for that money. What's going on? So the Sma Taka makes an akimta, and he says...
Who says that?
Who says what?
That all the $100,000 is lost.
So where is it? What was the case? When he says, Gava B'chayfe, what... So Zok Tisma and the Kimti here that we're talking about, that Ramah is talking about, where the karka, the gevia, when they foreclosed on, Bezin shatzed up the karka for only 200, and they only used 200 worth of the note to be goiva, and the other 100 is for a rainy day, Mitzvah, when the guy wins the lottery. But the Val, it's like you said, unsecured, but Mameli only paid 200, and if he only paid 200, then me, the Mitzvah, and I also only have to pay 200, then you have to know what the Chiddush is. Good, but that was the Kimta that the Sma made in the Rambah. Sorry? That what? What's the Chiddush? So what? I mean, so sit with a different kak and go up. If it goes up, it goes up on your cheshbin, not on the borrower's cheshbin. The borrower still owes you the $100,000. And what you bought for $200,000.
Let's say the case of the revolver, that he knows I'm not getting anywhere else.
That's with the case of Rosh, because the guy is dead. But the Ramah's not talking about that case. Right?
The
Bachot
say you can't
this is it.
You can't focus on not getting anything.
Good.
They have a
character.
Actually, the money is going to go up. It's going to resolve and not make money.
Oh, yeah, the other
name. If not, no, I'm not getting anything anymore.
I know, but that's like every investment could go up. It's no real chiddush. You know, this is only that you could sleep well at night. That you think that you didn't lose money because one day it will go up. But back then you collected $200,000. Now the $200,000 property is yours. If it goes up, or if a different car goes up, the Brei Nishom will make you wealthy somewhere else. Here. If it goes up, it's not like the Leiva paid you more money. It just helps you sleep at night better that you didn't lose by lending money to this Leiva. Hotnish with this Leiva. All right. So now, as Bemis, the Daki Moshe says this Lahedya. The Daki Moshe, when he brings down the Rivosh, Mamish says such a case that Bezin made the Shuma on the Karka for 200, and Mamela, the Matson, only has to reimburse him for 200. So, come twice, when you read the words of the Ramah, the words of the Ramah is, Gava Bechavin Atarklitin Larakafi Shumas Bezdin means. Yesterday, Shumas Bezdin. The Shumas Bezdin that Bezdin used when they foreclosed on the property, they used the Shuma. It was only worth 200, and you only used $200,000 worth of your note in that Shuma. So, Mamel, you only give Kefi that Shuma, because whatever that Shuma was, that's how much of the note you used to be Goiva on the foreclosure. All right. Comes along the Shach and blasts this Pshat. And I can't tell it, but if you look in the Rosh, I mean, it's pretty clear like the Shach. But he blasts it. He makes a simple judgment. It's a simple judgment. The Lekeach foreclosed it for 200, but he still has another 100,000 outstanding, right? Unsecured debt. Good, say that. But really, the truth be told is it's secured debt. Because your sheba that you have on this karka remains la'ilam. Just that you don't have it on any other karka, but your shibud of your choyv remains on this karka. So let's work this out. I was goyver for 200. Then the metron usurped my position and took it away from me for 200. And it's as if the loiva sold it directly to the metron for 200. The karka is still under my clutches. So now what I'll go is I'll knock on the metron's door and I'm knocking. By the way, buddy, you bought a karka that was already mashur, but I'm the first position, so I'm going to take back the karka from you. So there's no way for the metron to hold on to this karka unless he satisfies my whole debt. As long as there's a penny left in my debt on the loiva, then there's still a penny of shibud left on this karka. I knock on the metron's door and I say, you still owe me the money. So first I get I collected the karka, the medicine took it away from me and gave me 200, so I've got 200 in my pocket, so I still have 100,000 worth of this debt. The shtar choyv still outstanding. Then I go back to the medicine, knock on his door and say, by the way, there's still 100 that you're mature with me. Take back 100 of the karka, and that's it. If you want the karka, you're going to have to pay me 300. So how could the Ramah say, b'chai gam, that the medicine only pays 200? The shibud karka of the malva is still there. It was never erased. As though, if you only use 200 of it to collect, so the 100 is still outstanding. There's still a shibud. So let him be goyva again from the metzrin. So the, if he pays me 200, correct up the shach. If you give me 200, I go ahead and knock on your door again. Okay, now you have karka. Let me collect it again.
No.
Right, you have to erase the chayv, unless I'm willing to be meichud the shibud. But if I'm not meichud the shibud, the shibud's still there. I collect and I'll recollect. And I'll recollect.
So the karka will never pick up the never redeem the karka. It'll always leave it for the
balkayv. The lekeik is the balkayv. The lekeik will collect. He'll collect the karka for 200. The metzim will take it away from 200. Then he'll collect it back from the metzim for another 100. So the metzim is going to have to eventually pay him off to wipe out the chayv. So he'll eventually have to pay 300. So how could the Ramah say he only pays 200? Memela zok tezhak, that's not the case. The case, and that's not the whole chiddush of the Rivash altogether. If you look in the Rivash, the chiddush of the Rivash was the geshmak chiddush. The chiddush of the Rivash was, is that really, he didn't pay only 200 for the karka. It's not like he only collected for 200. He paid the entire chayv for this karka. The face of the note was 300. He collected, he foreclosed on it for a complete $300,000 face value. It was only worth 200. And nevertheless, I don't have to pay you the whole 300. Why not? Zokt Rivash, why not? Is because there's a halacha later on, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, is what happens if I buy a karka through barter? Instead of paying money, I paid it by giving the guy a sfarim shrank, I know, a car. I gave him my tractor trailer for his property. And now the metzen knocks on my door and says, excuse me, thank you for buying the property, but the property is really mine, I'm the metzen, and it's mine. So Lekeik says, what do you mean? You got to reimburse me. How much does the medicine have to reimburse him? We shut up how much the value of the tractor trailer is worth. And Mameli pays in that value because that is what the Lekeik paid the seller. He only paid him a tractor trailer. So whatever the value, he doesn't have to give him another tractor trailer. He gives him the value of the tractor trailer because that's how the Lekeik bought the karka from the seller. Zokt Rivash, Zokt Shach. What did he buy this with? He bought it with a shtar chayv. Now, it can have a face value of $300,000, but everyone knows a face value of a chayv is not worth the full face value, right? So, if you had to sell this debt on the market, it's a suppressed debt. This guy is rated, I don't know, B minus. If you have to sell this debt, you're going to get $300,000 for it? Who's a not?
I have to pay $300,000 on the good chance. Oh, the bet you can make back is $300,000. How much are you going to pay for this paper? For the whole shtar chayv is only worth $100,000. That's what the Rivash is saying. You don't pay the full face value. You pay the value of the shtar chayv. Whatever the shtar chayv is worth, that's what you ended up paying the seller. We want to know to determine what you really paid the seller. You really paid the seller what? Whatever the value of the shtar chayv was. So what's the shumet karka? So if you look, and it's not a shumet karka, it's a shumet shtar chayv. You shut up. It's the Ramah. He's on with the Ramah. You look at the Rivash. The lashon of the Rivash is b'chdeish yishuma bed in shoy yeshava hachoyv. Whatever the chayv is worth, that's what you have to give. Bedin was shut off. What the chayv is, you have to make a shuma, and whatever that chayv was worth, that's what you have to pay. It's mamash apala.
That's what you have to pay. You only have to pay what the shtar chayv is worth. More than that, you don't have to pay. Very geschmack.
This person didn't put the shtar on the market.
Correct.
So he was worth 300 shtar every penny. He's trying to get whatever he could.
But it's really not worth that. He used that shtar chayv to pay to foreclose on the property. So how much? And he used the entire amount. So, but what was it really worth? He doesn't. No. The Maisa Shahaya was, in order for him to collect, Akasha for Maisa, but that's what he did. What he did was, is he used the entire Shtar Chayv to collect. That was the case, right. How was the case? The much of the guy died and he didn't need to, whatever. But that was the case. But how much does the Metzen have to reimburse the Lekeach? He doesn't reimburse him the whole $300,000 because his Shtar Chayv wasn't worth $300,000. His whole Shtar Chayv was only worth $200,000. So mainly only has to reimburse him for $200,000. That's all he has to reimburse him. And the Mela Zok Tishak, sometimes the Shachayv can be worth more than the property. Let's say it's worth $220,000, so I'll have to reimburse him $220,000, even though he overpaid. Because that's a luck. If you overpay, you have to reimburse the overpayment. Sometimes the Shachayv would be worth less. Is this worth less? Let's say it's only worth $180,000, he'll have to only pay him $180,000. The Mela Zok Tishak, you shots up whatever the Shachayv is worth, and that's how much you have to pay. That's what the Shach says. Now, on that Chelik with the Shach, the Taz says the exact same thing. Just the Taz says it's never worth less, it's only worth more. And the Nesivos also jumps on the Shach. He says, how is it possible that the Shtar Chayv should be worth less? It's really not Shaykh. It could be worth more, but it's really not Shaykh to be worth less. Correct, and it will be the other sif in economy. But he says it's really not shaykh to be worth less. The only way something can be worth less if you're dealing with a loiva who's, let's say, a garva alma. Because right? You know you have a shibud of a karka 200. You know you can always collect that 200. So how could it be worth only 180? Teretz, it could be worth 180 because maybe the loiva is a drake of a garva alma, be difficult to foreclose on him, whatever it is. So he says that's good if you didn't. But this guy did. Right now he did. He just went and he foreclosed. So when he foreclosed on the property, so now we just have to shots off what the shtar chayv is worth. It has to be worth at least the value of the property. Zakhtar Ziv, the only way it could be worth less, if let's say he loyal gears mane peroyin, so there's a delayed time to he could collect. But otherwise, he said it has to be worth at least what the property is. But begitza, that's the pshat. How a mortgage is written? What do you mean? Chayv is less than the property, you could take the whole property? I don't think so. I think they have a sheriff's sale, and that's a way to shuts up, even though it really doesn't do well, but it's a way to shuts up, and when he shuts it up like that, that's how he gets it. I would assume so, no? Right, the sale makes a kinyan, and on that, and good. All right, but at the end of the day, that's Prat and the Rivosh. So it's not like the Ramos Prat, there's a Shach, and the Taz and the Nesiv is basically the shot. You shots up how much your Shtar Chayv is worth. Yeah, he argues it to Ramah. He says it can't be. This can't be shot. You look in your Rosh doesn't say how much the Bezin shots up the Karka. It says how much Bezin shots up the Chayv. It's a whole different part. All right, Rabbi. First of all, can you do it? The Ramah tells you where he's coming from in the Daki Moshe. And the Taka says, and he tagged up the Rivosh like he says in the Ramah. But if you look in the Rivosh itself, it's like what the Shach says. All right, let's move on, Rabbi Sain. Sorry? We come out, don't make shuris all together. But in the Kitzur Kefes, you could be Menaka more than a regular shuris to Menaka. Whatever, when you make shuris. Usually, not always, but on shur. That's all. Usually, not going to have a shur. Why are you going to have a shur? You guys going to have to say knunya. If you hold, you need a tiny bari, and make a daisy zibari. If you hold in the ratio without a tiny bari, good. Tiny shambas, and then you could be mafasha for the shur. And economy, you can make a pshar. All right. I don't know what the pshar will be. I don't know. Let's say, if that's the case. And I know pay up the chayiv. No, but if the face value of the shtar is 300, no, but the malvah kalua, you say, I want to sit back and take 300. Right, so you can't just pay me 200. Means you can't pay off a $300 note for 200. That you can't do. But if he used it to buy it, and now you're vis-a-vis the Metzen, and the Metzen says you only bought it for 200, so Mamela, I have a right to take it over for you for 200. That's the Chiddush of the Rivosh. It's not a Chiddush, but that's the Chiddush of the Rivosh. All right, let's move on, Rabbi. So let's do Sif Yud. I'm moicha out tonight. If there was a sale between the seller and the buyer, and there was certain conditions that had to be fulfilled, there was a tanai in the sale. Amanas, chveis, you pay me. Amanas, you dabe olai l'shulton. Amanas, whatever the tanai might be. Amanas, that it rains tomorrow. There was a tanai built into the sale. Amanas, I'll be able to find a new house. Whatever it is, mortgage contingency, whatever it is, there's a tanai. I'm moicha out tonight. Bein shis namoicha, bein shis lakech. Whether the tanai was inserted by the seller or whether it was inserted by the lakech. Ein balametsa yoch. The Balametzah cannot be mezalek this buyer at Yiskaimu HaTanoim until all the Tanoim are fulfilled. V'yizka lokeach b'karka, and the lokeach will be zeich in the karka v'letisho ba'il klal. There's no excuses, there's no way out, it's a done deal. V'aka karka, and if it's a done deal, then yisalek yisai, then the metzen invokes his dimba metzranis. And that could take a long time, take months, could take a year, take a long, depending when this Tanoim will be fulfilled. But till the Tanoim is fulfilled, there is no din of Metzronis. Sorry? The Lekech. Meantime, it's the Lekech. It is the Lekech, but there's no din Metzronis till everything is settled, till all the Tanaim are settled. Right. The Lekech tonight was the Mafreya Pashtas, but the Metzron can't invoke it till later on. That's what the Mechaba says. Now, where is this coming from? The problem is, there is no Makar in the Gemara for this, at least no known Makar in the Gemara for this halakha. And it's coming from the Rambam. And can you do it? Whenever you have like Rishonim who say create halachas, mechadish halachas, then it becomes very messy in the Achrayim how to understand what's the case and why and what's the reason. This is like Xayr. I mean, what's the plan? Why? Why in the world can't the Metzranis be invoked right away? Why do you have to wait till the Tanoim? And because of this Xayr Sarambam, there's numerous pratim akimtas what the case is and what the reasoning is. I just want to focus, I'm going to give two fundamental pratim here and we'll move on. One pshat is from the Nesivis. The Nesivis says like this, it's talking about a regular Tanai. A tanai that the moicha has no advantage from. There's no mila to the seller, and we'll see why we need that. But it's talking about a regular tanai. A tanai that amanas that you go to Yisrael's house for yontif. A stama tanai, amanas that you go, you don't go to New York this whole week. Whatever the tanai is, really the seller has no benefit from that tanai. And the metron wants to invoke metronis right away, but the lokeach tells the metron, you're invoking metronis right away, I'm not sure that I have this property till a week from now. You want to invoke it right away, so you're going to pay me today, right? In order to invoke, you have to come with money. No, taking a washing. So now, I'm going to have to sit on $200,000 worth of cash under my mattress. And what happens in a week from now if the sale doesn't go through? Then what's going to be? Then I'm going to get my money back from the seller, and I have to give you back your money. So why do I have to be ashamed on your money for a week, or for a month, or for a year? It's risky. I don't want to do that. I can't spend this money, because I I don't have a way to spend it on. I mean, like, I saved up years till I was able to pay off this micha, but I have now, I'm going to hold on to money that I can't spend, because you might need it back, and I don't want to take a price on such money. When the deal is done, call me. Until now, I don't know. I might have to give you back this money for. Why do I have to be a shoyman on your money for nothing? So it's a tiny mitzad de lekech that the lekech is worried to hold on to money because the tanai was not yet fulfilled. Memela, when you know for sure that the deal is a done deal and I can keep your money, then come to me with your tiny metzronis. That's the nesivis' job. It's not the nesivis, but if the tanai would be a mila for the seller, let's say the tanai was a manas that you get my son into yeshiva. You're going to speak to the manal, you're good with the manal, and you're going to get my son into the yeshiva. So there's no metronis at all. Because the seller kataino, the lekech, I know he has a good in with the yeshiva to get my son in, but you, who are you? You're a nice tamachochim, but that doesn't help. You're not going to get your son into yeshiva with that. So if you don't have the connections, I don't want you to try to get my son into yeshiva, you the metron. I only want the lekech. So since there's a mila for the seller to have the buyer be mekayim the tnai, then it's batal to hold the mitzvahs all together. We discussed this, like if you sell on credit, and I trust your credit better than the merchant's credit. There are other throughout the siman, there are going to be these cases. But if the seller has a mila with the buyer being mekayim the tnai over someone else from being mekayim the tnai, then the holding mitzvahs was suspended indefinitely. It doesn't work on this property. But if there is no mila in this tnai for the seller, it's just tam tnai. I'm not saying it rains tomorrow. Then zot the nesivis pshat neramim is you can't be mesalikim yet because the lokeach doesn't want to be forced to have shmira on this money.
What's the tnai? To get him in or to try to get him in?
Let's say the tnai is to get him in.
So then wouldn't the meitzer have to?
Yeah, but I don't want you're not going to be successful. I'm not trying not to sell my kach. I'm trying to get my kid into yeshiva. So if you're not going to be successful, my kid's not in yeshiva. So I want the boy to buy, not you. So memela, then the whole dinner mitzvahs will be suspended. What's chiyuv? If the mitzvah takes him over, yeah, then he could say, "What do I need the tanai for? You keep the tanai, right? Right."
The
shinkel.
No, yeah, but the problem with that is that's not so simple because if the tanai was a tanai that's not to the benefit of the seller, you're right. Let the buyer first be mekayim the tanai, and then the metzin steps in. That's mamish the halacha. But if the tanai is something for the benefit of the seller, even if the lekeach got the son into yeshiva, the metzin can't take him over because lechatchila it wouldn't be good for the seller, right? If you're telling me you're really my shliach all along. Well, if you would have popped up from day one, the seller would have said, "I'm not asking to sell to you because you can't keep this tonight." Chazal never enacted a din of metzronis when it's bad for the seller, and this is bad for the seller. The seller needs bedavka the lekeach to invoke metzronis and not somebody else.
But after the tonight is over, then he can come.
How's he paying? No, then he can't come. Which guy? The regular tonight or tonight which is benefit for the seller?
Benefit for the seller.
Then he can never come. It's over. There's no dinner metzonis forever. All right, that's the one pshat. Another pshat, I'll tell you, is the Guinness Rodim. The Guinness Rodim, Kesher Mishra, Klav Vav, Simen Ches, he has a pshat that Hayois, there's a chance that the sale might not go through. So if we're going to do Metzronis, what's going to happen? Bezin going to force the Lekeach to give the Kach to the Metzron. And then in a month from now, the Tanai is not going to be in the sky. And then now the property is going to go back to the seller, because the whole Kima, the Tanai, the whole deal initially was bottled. So the whole seal is bottled, goes back to the seller. So then Bezin basically wasted the time. Bezin has other things to do with their life. If they waste the time, the whole thing wasn't negeya. So in order that the Bezin shouldn't be terech bechdi, machachinim beidinim bechdi lo machachinim, we don't do that. So therefore, there is no dinim meitronis until everything is settled. And now you want Bezin to get involved. You say that Bezin's happy to get involved to help you. But initially, to waste Bezin's time on the tzad suffix that this seal might go through, we don't do that. So therefore, we need a kima tanai for Bezin to get involved. That is the Guinness Rodin's shot. Oh, so look, who goes to Mafreya? The Lotea goes to Mafreya. Oh, so that's the problem. That's what Lotea is. It should come out. Yeah, it should come out. Let's just flesh this out. Really, that means that really, there's nothing wrong with the Metronis Taina right away. Metronis Taina was a good Taina. The whole problem is that we can't get Bezin involved, but for Yisoy, there should have been a good Taina right away. And I'll even say it perhaps a bit starker. You don't even need Bezdin for Bametzra. Because there's anywhere that Bametzra is only if you go to Bezdin. If you mazik my window, you owe me money even if I don't go to Bezdin. If you don't want to pay, then I take you to Bezdin. If you bought the property next to me, you have to give it to me right away. If you don't want it, then I have to take you to Bezdin. But if I knock on your door and I say, I'm a Bametzra and here's money, the price that you paid, you got to give me over the kaka right away. If you're Yishmael. If you don't, then I take you to Bezin. I don't need Bezin for the Dimetronis. So the Kaya Lukai is a shtick of funny. It's like, then it comes out, this whole Guinness Rodim Pshat is really not so negate. What is he talking about? I knock on your door, and I tell you, give me the karka, here's your money, and give me over the karka. The merchant said, the Lukaiq says, well, Bezin doesn't want to get involved. I don't need Bezin to get involved. Huh?
Who says you don't need Bezin?
Who says you don't need Bezin? How do I know you don't need Bezin? Kala Tarikuli, you don't need Bezin.
Who created this din?
Chazal.
Maybe they can create new Bezin.
No, I don't think so.
You have only started from himself. He doesn't say you give up.
No, it's not what the din needs better. And Lamasha, we had before in Sef Vav. We had before over there. It says we were medayik that if you come with money, the second come with money, then the karka already becomes yours even before you paid.
It did. Only
if you come with money in Bezdin? No, we had a case was, who is it from the Rashbash, had a case was, is that the guy was a Misarv Lovely Ladin. He didn't even want to come to Bezdin. It came out, Lamafreya, you own the karker from day one, and has to pay his chiz on it. So I don't need Bezdin. I just have to come with money. So I came with money. So the chiz should be mine. So it doesn't really say that over here, right? It doesn't say in the Mechaba that it's mine. It sounds like in the Mechaba that you ain't balamit yochel asalka if she is kaima tonight. He can't even be mesalikim. Why can't he be mesalikim? He should be able to be mesalikim right away. But if you're to Suleiman now, look, you're asking a good kasha. At least when I am mesalikim, let it go back to my Freya, because I did come right away. Let's say Legabi Paris. Whatever will be Nagaya, Legabi Paris. It should work that it should go back to Mafreya, and it doesn't sound like that from the Mechaba. So it's a shtickle problem with the Ginus Rodham Pshat, a shtickle problem. Alright, and not only that, if you, even in the Nesivis' Pshat, I would taino with the Zalacha later on in the Simin that the Metzen has to come right away. If the Metzen knows the Lokeik board and sat back, then he was Moicha. He has to invoke, if once he knows that it was bought, then he has to invoke his Mitzronis. So what happens? The guy next to me bought this property, and let's say I know I'm the medicine, and I know that he bought it all tonight, and it's going to take a year to be Mekaimda tonight. So I sit back, and a year from now I come and I say, okay, now today he was Mekaimda. Tonight, Mamish, in the minute, 12 o'clock, I come 12:01, okay, give me the karka. L'chayr, that's not enough, because Be'etzem, you should have come right away. It's only if the lakech has picked, he doesn't want to be a shoima. The lakech should be able to tain and tell the mezon, you should have come right away. Ah, you're telling me that the Rambam said that you can't come right away? Rambam only said you can't come right away for me, because I don't want to have to be a shoima on your money. But if I was happy to be a shoima on your money, you should have come right away. So why didn't you come? You should have came. Really, the Din Metzona should happen right away. It's only to protect the Lokeik, so to speak, that we say it's not fair to be a shaman. If the Lokeik says, I don't mind being a shaman, then you should have come right away. I mean, that's a posher enough communal much between the Nesivis and the Ginus Rodham, is if the Lokeik is not makbid, then the Bametra Din is right away. Let's say Lechetchila, he says, Ataka not makbid to be a shaman. Then there's Metronis right away. So like the Ginus Rodham, there's still no Metronis right away, because Beidin and Lomachachina, we don't mess up a Bezdin. But Mitzad the Nesivis, it's only a dakpod of the Lokeik. If the Lokeik says, I'm not makbid, then Enochanam, you have to have Metronis right away. So Afilim Tim Tzalayma, the guy waited, he waited for a year later. Right now, the guy should be able to say, look, you should have come right away. You should have came a year ago, and maybe I wouldn't have been makbid. And Mamela, if you didn't come, you are Michael. And it doesn't fit really so well in the Machabah's Lush. Machabah says, Ainu Yochel Asalko until later on. That means, let me just bring it out a drop more. If the metron at the time of the seal was poor and couldn't afford to be mesalik me, and a year later, by the time the time was Niskayim, then he could afford to be mesalik me, he should not be able to be mesalik me. Because a year ago, at the time of the seal, when there should have been the Din Metzronis, you didn't have the ability to mazalik me. You weren't going to be mazalik me. So there shouldn't be any Din Metzronis. L'chay, that's what should come out. L'chay, that's what should come out. And a kanami. It's a problem. So you have to say, Benchus and Mugman, Benchus Lakech, Litinitzivs, means whether the Kima tonight had to be done ayidei the Meiko, ayidei the Lakech, not because it is a benefit. And a kanami. Like the smashtra, which I didn't tell you, that works better. Ben Shinnis, he learns like benefit, whether there's benefit for the seller, benefit for the buyer. There are many other pshatim. The Aruch HaShulchan has another pshat. There are other pshatim here, Rabbi said it. I just told you the two better ones, and they're both shrek, but I told you the two better ones. All right, one more story. There's a concept throughout the ages. 15th century, 16th, it was like for hundreds of years, there was a mitzvah called Mechira Bahatava. And the way that worked was, and even it's like many places, even if you didn't spell it out, it was automatically like that. The way it worked is, if I sell your property, I could always redeem that property. It's Bahatava. I always have the option to buy it back. It runs into ribbis issues big time.
Escape clause?
It's an escape clause, that's what it's called? I don't know. I sell your property, and then a year later, if I have the money, I could buy it back. I always have the option to buy it back.
That
Sorry? Yeah, like that type of a concept, right? There's Arjevol here. This is how it was. They wrote it all the time. They had issues with Ribbit. They tried to get out of Ribbit. They wrote it in two separate stories. They wrote it a second later. But the problem is, even you don't write it, it's automatic. There are problems with Ribbit. But let's leave Ribbit aside. But that is the Matthias. So comes along a guy and buys a property. Bahatava. Well, it's automatically Batava. He buys the property Batava. Comes along the Metzen and says, okay, I'm taking over. Shtoyach for buying the property for me. What's the din? Is this considered Moicha Betanai? Because the seller always has the option to buy it back. Madin. But here too, why doesn't the Metzen say, I assume your position, and whenever in the sky Matanai will be the same thing. Teretz says, but the Mechaber still says, you can't even start Mitzronis until there's a Kim all of the Tanaim. No, it's also, it was a Tanaim in the Mechir. The Tanaim Mechir is that the seller has a right to buy it back. I have a Tanaim that if I bring you money, even in 5 years from now, I get back the karka.
Yeah, but that's not the time where in the Mechir,
So let's flesh this out. Okay, so this case, this Shiloh went to a number of poskim. The Guinness Rodim, Dan's the Shiloh, and he says that this is taka like a Moichal Tanai. It's a Moichal Tanai. And Memeilu, Yitaka can't be Mazalakim. Basically, not forever. There was a cap. But Moichal Tanai, there's always a certain cap. It was a year time. 5 years from now, 10 years from whatever that time was. But till it matures, till that option with the escape clause that matures, till that time, you cannot invoke your right of Mitzronis. And Loita Guinness Radim Shad is because Beidino La Metrechinen, right? Bechdi. So this was Bechdi. It might come out that in 5 years from now, he'll invoke this escape clause and go back to the seller. You wasted Bezin's time. For Mamela, there's no Dino Mitzronis. That's what the Guinness Radim said. And then he said, you should know that if there's a Pseida La Meicha, that is, that the Meicha prefers this buyer over the Metron, because this buyer might extend the time of this escape clause. He's a good guy, he's easygoing, flexible, or he'll allow me to pay it slowly. I don't have to come up with the money in one shot. And you, the Metron, you're mamish, ruthless, I don't want you. So then he said, the Bechlal is never din Mametzer. The same type of Asura before. And the Erech Shai said the same thing. It could be that he'll have a benefit having this buyer, because one day he wants a kaka back. This buyer trusted him to keep it in good condition. The Metzron is going to mamish destroy the property. I don't want the Metzron. He's going to give me a difficult time to give it back to me when I'm going to come up with it tonight with that Tava. He's going to play games with me. Whatever Savara the Moicha might have as an advantage to have this Lokeach over the Metzron, and the Chram, then there's never the Metzron is on Hatava. But if there's no advantage, still you cannot invoke Bametzra until the Kiyama tonight, until 5 years from now. So, Mamisha Kavaldaka Paten, to get out of Maitronis. You make this tonight 5 years, and Mamir for 5 years we're good to go, and he can't be a Masalakim. That is the Guinness Rodham Shah. The base. He can lose. Yeah, the bike can lose Kaka, right? The Beis Yehuda argues, and the Beis Yehuda says that there was a minig, mi mois harishainim, ladin miyadin Maitronis. And we don't wait till there was the Kima Tanayan de Satava. And he argues with the Guinness Rodham, he doesn't say why, he just said there was a minig. Comes along the Chut, Zera Yankev, Simon Tezvav, and jumps on this Beis Yehuda and says, very nice, a Gzeir Sakosiv, a Kabbalah, you have a Kabbalah, but why? Why isn't this Mecha Tanay? The Guinness Rodham is Gerech, Beidina Bechdi, La Mechachina. So I want to tell you, I think what Zilaylam is telling is that there's a Chayra Pasha de Chilek. Over here, this Tanay was La Mefreya. If eventually it rains tomorrow, or eventually you go to Yitzhak for Pesach, whatever it is, comes out La Mefreya, it was never the boys, goes back to the sellers, the whole thing was a joke, there was nothing here. Maybe you just wasted Bezin's time, nothing happened. Mashenkin by Mecha Batah, the way it works is, I mean, it's a machlokes, but pashtus, the way it has to work in Hilchos Ribbis, it has to work, is that the sale is final and you own it. I can always have the right, the option to buy it back. But even when I invoke the option to buy back, who owned it during that window? Still the buyer. It just, I'll end up rebuying it, and from 5 years from now, I'll own it from then onward, but not lemefreya. So memela, whatever time frame that is in this mecha batova, that time frame belonged to the lekeach no matter what. He owned it for that tekufa no matter what. And memela, the metzin says, ich mendo, I want that tekufa. I'll worry about the mecha batova. If he comes, I'll get exercise, I'll give it back to him in 5 years. Not I'll own it indefinitely, but chach, I'll own it for 5 years. So if Bezdin gets involved and acts on the Meitzranis, it's not Bechdi, they're doing a taiva for the Metzin. The Metzin will have it for these 5 years. So it's not for nothing. It's only for nothing if it goes back to my friend, it came out, there was nothing here, and it really was the sellers all along, so there was no buyer, there's no Metzin, there's no nothing. But here there was definitely a buyer, there definitely a Metzin. So Parshat L'Chayra, that's in the base Yudah. Vada, there should be a Din Meitzranis. Sorry? If who does want to give back? He has, it's Mecha Batov, he got to give it back.
So,
I don't think so, yeah?
No. How could it be my first father to go back? Because let's say the seller stays in the house. He doesn't want to pay rent for the next 5 months. If he doesn't want to be my father,
I don't think that's how it works. It's a right in two separate shtaris. There's a mechira final. You can't have it ever going back to my fair because then it has ribbis that the money that you took and you had a chilis peris on that. And veraya, during those 5 years, who eats peris? The lekeach eats peris. Oh, but you can't do that. A free loan is ribbis. So you can't have a free loan. So that's what I'm saying. You can never go back to my freya. It has to be that it was the lekeach for these 5 years. And starting from 5 years onward, he's selling back the kaka. But who owned it for those 5 years? The buyer. And therefore, the buyer rightfully ate the payers. The metron can invoke metronis on that. All right, Rabbi Isai. A good tevok.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.